Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our weekly focusing call. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm Michael Saracini. I'll be leading you through your 14-day radar over the next 15 to 25 minutes here. I'm excited to get on our call this week. We are in Q2 of 2024. So this week officially kicks off the second quarter. I think that a lot of you know that we like to live our days in this 90-day focus. We have designed our entire mastermind program for you around the 90-day focus. 90 days is enough time that you can make some significant progress. You can have some significant challenges, and you can review your progress in order to see what needs to be solved going forward. But it's not too much time that if you're off track, you get too far off track. So the 90-day focus is a tried, tested, and true best way to create the most meaningful and results-based progress in your life, in your business, and the things that you do. So that's what we're working on today is our 90, it's Q2. So it's the 90 days from quarter one, January, February, March have passed, and now we're getting into Q2 of the year. So it's a kickoff of Q2. We've got one guest today that I'll bring up here in a moment, but I wanted to just tell you a little bit about some of the things that I'm seeing in the market and some conversations I'm having with people. So I want to talk about foreign exchange, in particular between the US and Canada. And I want to talk about interest rates a little bit. And then we'll start our 14-day radar. I'll give you a chance to write down. We'll bring up our guest, have a little conversation. If we have time and anyone else wants to chat or talk, I'll open the floor to the first one in, and then we'll wrap it up. So here's a couple things I'm seeing. First conversation is foreign exchange. So this is the US dollar relative to the Canadian dollar. And why might this be important for our community? Well, we have our community split between Canadians and Americans. We don't have people from many other countries, although some of you might be from other countries if you've come to us. But primarily we have Canadians and Americans. And often we'll have Canadians and Americans doing business either with each other or doing some sort of cross-border business. And so whenever you're doing cross-border or international business, like we could call it, is a little more appropriate, you're always thinking about the different currencies that you're operating in. So you're adding another layer of, I'll use the word layer of complexity, but I don't mean that in a negative tone, just a layer of complexity or another variable or factor when you're doing your business cases and your business planning. And so you have to understand what's happening with dollars as they move. Foreign exchange is also a leading indicator, sometimes a leading indicator of where economies are going, and really a measure of national consumer confidence in different markets. And so it's a good leading indicator to see, maybe this is where things might go. Now, a lot of you might know that I'm not a magician in terms of predicting. So I like to tread very carefully around questions of like, where do you think the market's going to go? And where do you think interest rates are going to go? Because I have no control of that. So I tend not to make my decisions based on things outside of my control. However, I also believe you should have awareness of things that are outside of your control. And this conversation is around awareness. So foreign exchange. So we're heading into April, and April is a significant month when it comes to Canada and the U.S. and their currencies. And traditionally, or historically, I should say, not traditionally, traditionally implies opinion and historically implies data and empirical evidence. Historically, we have seen the Canadian dollar increase or rise relative to the U.S. dollar in April many, many years from 1990 to 2023. And there's a number of things that happen. Canada being a primarily cold country, we get into some warmth in April. And so that apparently has a upwards pressure on the Canadian dollar relative to the US dollar. And we also have gas and oil markets change in April because of the international demand change from going from more of a cold season in many populated areas to the warmer season. And so for a number of economic reasons, which are I think beyond the scope of our macroeconomic conversations, but we just need to know that these things happen, the Canadian dollar will likely be stronger in April than it was in January, February, and March. And the US dollar will likely be less strong or go down relative to the Canadian dollar. So I wanted to just share that with everyone. If you have any sort of cross-border business between Canada and the US specifically, these might th be things for you to consider. There's a word called hedging, and we've maybe heard the term hedging against inflation. So you're making strategic moves that created a sort of insurance policy within your portfolio or some sort of backup plan if the market moves. Well, you can also hedge against foreign exchange in terms of the decisions that you make. So I wanted to mention that to everybody in terms of the Canadian dollar is more likely to increase in April than virtually any other month, and the US dollar is more likely to decrease. And so if you're an American and you have US dollars and you want to transfer to Canadian dollars, you want to do it before April because they're going to be more expensive. And vice versa, if you're going to go the other way and you want to buy US dollars, wait until you're going to have a good opportunity here in April to buy US dollars as a Canadian or to convert some of your money that way. So that is one insight that I've noticed and I've read about and I've heard people talking about. The second thing I'll mention is interest rates. We've talked about that a few times over the last few weeks, and interest rates are always they're always beautiful headline makers because you can kind of interpret interest rates in any way that you want. So what I'm seeing and hearing in terms of interest rates is both the Canadian Bank and the US Fed are both looking to cut their interest rates by the end of the year. But what we're seeing is a deeper cuts in Canada than in the US, and that's just in we don't know why they're doing it. I'm sure somebody knows over at the high level at the Fed, but that's the indicators they're showing us is the US Fed may have one to two rate cuts over the course of 2024, and in Canada we're looking at two to three rate cuts as a prediction in 2024. So just some interesting information. Again, all good for us as real estate investors. But what's happening is when you buy properties, when the interest rate environment is high, we know that the purchasing price or the value that properties trade at tends to be lower because people can afford less with leverage or with getting a mortgage. And so if that is the train of thought we go down, and if that is what we're seeing, then the opposite or inverse will happen as interest rates go down, then the prices or values will go up because people can afford more. I mean, this is simple economics that I think a lot of you know, but how do we translate it to a strategy? That's always the important thing we want to think about as real estate investors. And if you want to translate that to a strategy, then the best time to buy real estate is before interest rates go down, or in other words, before prices go up. And so if you are looking to acquire property based on the historicals and the numbers, right now is an excellent time to acquire property because you're going to be buying at a value that is historically low and predictably low if we think of what's going to happen with rates rising. And you're going to have that value for the entire life of the property. And if the property, as interest rates go down and the property value goes up, you're going to have bought at a great rate, sorry, a great value, a great price. So we want to make sure that we know that. And now it does appear to be an amazing time to buy real estate because of that. Now there's a lot of considerations, of course, four ways to win, how much cash flow do you need, what markets you invest in, and that's why you come to us as Keyspire, as real estate investors. We're here for you for that. So those are the two things I wanted to mention. And now I'm going to get into my 14-day radar, and I'm going to then invite up Michael Moroz to share his 14-day radar with us. 14-day radar is looking back 7 days and looking forward 7 days. And so I like to kick it off with our positive focus and lead by example. And so I tell you a little bit of my positive focus from last week. Okay, I've got two in mind that I wrote down this morning. And by the way, this is your opportunity every week to write this down. Write this down in paper and pen, or write it down, type it in a computer. If you want to keep a journal so you can look back week over week. How beautiful would it be at the end of the year? You can look back at every week and what your positive focus was. How much of a confidence booster would you have at the end of the year by looking at that? Even at the end of the quarter, imagine here on April 2nd, you can look back at all your positive focuses from January, February, and March and get that massive confidence booster of the progress you've made. And in fact, as I'm saying this out loud, I'm realizing that that I'm going to talk to the team about potentially putting some sort of organized sheet or tool together so that you can do this and you can have a review on one page, because I know how powerful it will be for your life every quarter to read back through your positive focuses every single week, how much momentum that will create and carry you forward into the next quarter. So let me just write down that little note here and talk to the team about that. Because I write all mine down, but they're sitting in, you're probably like this as well. They're sitting in different files, in different areas, and different sometimes sticky notes, which I'll just throw away. But why not review them and get that value? So here's my two positive focuses. Number one, I was at my quarterly mastermind group last week. I went Tuesday and Wednesday, so I go 2 days to my mastermind group, and I stay at a hotel. I get away from the house. It's like a mini retreat every quarter that I can. Oh, I could just breathe. I get a clarity break. And so, any of you that are considering flying in or driving in and spending a couple days in a hotel and attending our classic workshops, I would encourage that if you can with your time, if you can with your budget. You are going to get a ton of value out of giving yourself that retreat. The content is the same. We know that, but the retreat, the experience for you as a person is completely different when you can get away. So I know it's not possible for everyone, but if you can get away, I encourage it. Our team is pretty good at allowing you to change workshops if there's availability. So if you can see us in person, great. So I did my workshop. It was amazing. I got to talk to my peers and associates. I got to meet some new great people. I made some great personal connections that with some business people all across the United States and Canada that I'm carrying forward, with me going forward. I met a great relationship that has purpose-built income properties. And so just in our conversation of our goals, we found out that there may be a great opportunity to have an exclusive grouping of purpose-built income properties for our KeySpire members. And so that is some amazing stuff that comes out of these groups. That was number one. My second positive focus has to do with workshop number two. Workshop number two that you will all attend is called the Funding Building Blocks. And last week, while I was gone, the team made some amazing progress. Or I'll use the word adjustments to workshop two based on your feedback. And this is maybe a good time to have the conversation of how we create content for you, how we create our workshops. We don't just write all of our workshops and create the content like years in advance. And it's like a university course where you've got curriculum that is pre-planned and rigid and bureaucratic. We're creating it as we go based on your feedback. We know the concepts that you need. So we have that already. That's tried, tested, and true for 24 years since I've been a real estate investor. But what we build into the KeySpire workshops that you don't get anywhere else is your feedback, your personalization, your customization, exactly what you want. So the team made amazing progress last week, adjusting the workshops based on your feedback. And this morning, Isabel just presented it to me. She organizes all the content team and puts it all together into our nice slide decks and our graphics and our tools. And we went through it this morning, and I'm really excited to for all of you to see workshop number two. None of you have done workshop two yet. The first group will be on April 19th. My group, we will do workshop two, and then April 20th with Judy, you will do workshop number two, and then all of you will at your dates get workshop two. But the point here is it was a huge positive focus to come in this morning and see the amazing progress that the team made while I was gone last week. And I'm really excited for you to see this. In particular, we've got a new tool called the Cash Flow Pipeline that is like, it's the it's I just well, yeah, I won't even get into it here because it's so cool. We looked at it this morning, and Isabel did a great job graphically representing it so you can understand it. And you're all going to learn the cash flow pipeline and take that away after workshop too, so you can plan your next decade, your beautiful decade where you're going to have cash flow passively from income properties and from all three investing streams, really, to get to your lifestyle freedom day. So huge positive focus from last week. This week's focus for me is I have a workshop group on Friday. And for those of you listening, joining me on Friday, it is your workshop one. It is the workshop one of year one of the signature program. And we're going to have a lot of fun, lifestyle freedom day. We're going to talk about building your portfolio. We're going to reverse engineer the number. We're going to have a lot of great conversations. And so I'm just really excited to see you all again. I met most of you on our workshop warm-up. I'm excited to see you all again And I'm excited to have some great conversations during the day and end the day with you having a greater sense, a much elevated sense of clarity on what to do next, of community and the people around you to support you, and of course, confidence in yourself and in the system and in your ability to get to your goals, your Lifestyle Freedom Day goals. And I'm really excited about this on this Friday. And then we move forward from there. I believe Saturday might be another one of your workshop groups with Judy is on Saturday, perhaps if it follows. Anyway, that's my exciting focus for this week. And then tomorrow we're getting together. The entire coaching team is getting together, and we are going to just go through a workshop to the funding building blocks. We're going to talk about it. We're going to brainstorm the best ways to coach certain items based on your feedback. And this is what you get here at the Mastermind program. You don't just get a YouTube video with some formulas. You get a professional team, the best in North America, working hard on creating the experience for you. And I'm really excited about that tomorrow. That is one of my big focuses tomorrow. So with that being said, I've shared mine. And while I'm talking, I hope you're thinking about your positive focus for last week, and please write it down. And you're thinking about what your singular focus is this week, where you're going to have your greatest win, where your greatest energy and efforts should be focused this week. And you've written that down. So I want to make sure you've done both of that right now. And please, I encourage you to go post this in the KeySpire Inner Circle Facebook group. All right. You can post your 14-day radar. It's just a quick bullet point, but it tells everybody that you're here, you're relevant, you care, and you're engaged, and that engages people with you. So now to you, the community. I want to hear from you. Michael, I'm going to invite you to unmute, Michael, and come on, and let's have a quick chat. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me
Hey.
okay?
I can hear you, Michael. Welcome, welcome. Michael,
Perfect.
tell us a little bit about yourself, 30 seconds, a little bit of your background, and then we want to hear about your positive focus from last week and your focus for progress this week.
Sure. My wife, Wendy, and I have been with KeySpire, I think, since 2017, and some of you may recognize my wife from on stage at the summits. We've been investing in the U.S. and Canada, in the U.S. since 2011, but in Canada since 1999. So, that's a little about us. I'm a CGA is my background,
Great.
So
Thank you, Michael.
positive focus. We've been busy these last couple weeks, actually working on a project that it's a little complex, but we're super excited about it. As I said, we've been investing in the U.S. since 2011. We have been working on a project, discussing with our cross-border lawyer, accountants, discussions with our U.S. lender, and today we're actually going to be submitting an offer on a portfolio of 90 single-family homes that are operating currently as student rentals. So it's an exciting move for us. And but this last week or two, actually, have been preparing to make this offer.
That's great. And so tell us about that. What are you doing? What can people learn from on what you're experiencing right now? And like you said, you and Wendy are quite experienced, having invested in real estate for quite a while now. You've been with KeySpire for, I think that's 7 years. So thank you for your loyalty and lending us your partner, Wendy, and our summits and our preview events. So thank you for lending her to us and having her be part of this great organization. But tell us about what are you doing to prepare to make an offer? What does that mean? We probably have a lot of new members here as well as experienced members. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, we're doing some of our due diligence prior to making an offer to make sure that the offer is something that works for us and works for the seller as well. We're trying to make it attractive. This is an offer that it's going to be a very large offer. And one of the things that we did was propose to the seller to do this in smaller chunks. So, purchase agreeing on a package price, and then do proposing takedowns every 6 months. So, so it allows us to find joint venture partners who may be interested in this type of project, but without having to raise a very substantial amount all at once. So
I like this. Okay, so you've made your offer, which is the price that you're willing to pay, but the condition is, or the offer is based on paying in tranches, or paying in sort of in chunks, as opposed to just what people think traditionally is purchasing, which is all the money comes on day one. You're saying you've creatively built in a payment schedule when you're buying it, essentially.
And our lender, and if I can offer another piece of advice for people who are purchasing in the U.S., I would spend a significant amount of time finding multiple lenders in the U.S. because in the U.S., they really, each lender has their own niches, and they have their own types of projects that they would be willing to fund. So when it comes time to a project is presented to you, you already know what lender will and will not be appropriate for this project.
Michael, that is a great piece of advice. And I want to just repeat that for everyone. And that happens in Canada a little bit as well, but certainly in the US, it's a lot more specialized because the availability of financing, you know, the number of lenders in the US is exponentially greater than the number of lenders in Canada, just by how the system is designed. And so, you know, what Michael is saying is different lenders will lend on different things. And I remember, Michael, when I was starting out, I started out with student rentals. And it sounds like that's what you're getting into now. So you're hitting this, what I hit, you know, without even knowing it at day one, is a lot of lenders wouldn't lend on student rentals. And what Scott and I had to do is we had to find the lenders that loved lending on student rentals, because they're all different businesses. Some don't want student rentals. Some, that's all they want. Some don't want low credit. Some, that's all they want to lend on. Some don't want to do multi-residential and commercial, and some, that's all they want to lend on. So, you know, the underscore, the takeaway of you've got to find the right lender for the property type, the asset class, and the strategy that you're going to be, you know, executing. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I remember, Michael, that people would tell me, how did you buy, I don't know, maybe it was first 10 student rentals. How did you buy 10 student rentals? Nobody is letting, I can't get financing on one student rental. How did you get 10? They don't give financing. And this is what they would say to me, Michael. They don't do finance. They, as in like, it's a blanket statement of every single lender on the planet. They don't do student rentals. I said, oh, who did you talk to? I walked into the bank, the local branch at the corner beside the convenience store. I walked into them and they said they don't do student rentals. I said, okay, so you're telling me no lender on the planet doesn't do student rentals because that one junior mortgage advisor that you talked to at the bank said they don't do it. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. And so that was a big insight for me 23 or 24 years ago, that if you talk to one person and they say no, or one lender and they say no, it might just be the asset class. It might not be you. You got to find the right lender for the right asset class. So yeah, Michael, thank you for bringing that up. That's super important. So what's up this week? What's going to be your focus, where your energy and effort goes to drive the most progress?
The focus this week is getting this bad boy under contract. So we are expecting some back and forth. We have an idea of where they want to end up, and we certainly have a number in mind for us. So it's just making it work. So that's what we're focusing on. And once we get that completed, our lender will provide us with a term sheet so we can run our numbers again, based on the different financing options available to us. So
that's great. And I love what you're doing. It's your lender is doing the heavy lifting. So many people try to calculate their own amortization schedules and all of these things. So I like, lean on the lender to give you as much as they can and then just build it back into your model.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the next phase for us, whether it's this week or later, is looking for JV partners on this project.
Okay, I want to talk about that. We have a couple minutes left, and we won't take another caller. You and I will just chat for another minute or two. But I want to chat about that for a second because for two reasons. Number one, we have people on the call that are just starting out and they're looking to figure out how to raise money with JV partners. But we also have money partners on the call that are always looking for interesting projects that KeySpire members are doing. And so, tell us about, what you're looking for. What's the structure? Like, how much would people invest? When they would get a hold of you? And anyone who's listening who's interested in a project to invest passively, you can find Michael on the KeySpire Inner Circle, I'm sure. And you can just, message him and say, Michael, is that how they find you if somebody's interested?
Yeah, it's Mike Moroz, Moroz is the name on the KeySpire
Okay.
inner circle.
Mike Moroz, Moroz. You can find him if you're interested in learning more, investing in his project. So tell us about what does it look like when somebody invests in your project? How's that structured?
This was actually one of the first conversations I had was with our cross-border accountant at BDO. What I wanted to know was, is this a type of project that I can have both Canadian and US investors partner with us on? And so I want to have as many options as possible. So I was very happy to hear that, yes, we can create a structure, a GPLP structure that will allow us to accept Canadian and US investors, and then they will process the appropriate tax forms for any year-end tax documentation for our partners. So that was the first step, and then I had more conversations with our lender. There's been a lot of back and forth with our lenders. I'm like, I kind of need to know if you can give me an approximation on what kind of rates we're looking at, then I can run my numbers based on that. And then, so he gave me a range and he said, once you've got it under contract, then we can give you more accurate rates. But, I've run the numbers so many which ways so I'm extremely confident with the numbers. The cash flow is projected to be very good. I think we can get it significantly under market. So,
Great.
running the four ways to win, it's the numbers are very, very attractive. So,
That's great.
super excited about this project.
And I trust your numbers too. I've seen you over the years do the numbers, and I trust your numbers. CGA, you know what you're talking about, and you don't let any detail fall through the cracks. Do you prefer Mike or Michael?
Usually Michael means I'm in trouble. So, Mike is
Okay.
fine.
Okay. Because I see you, Michael, here on my screen, but I know you just said you're Mike in the.
All good.
Okay. I'll call you Mike then. I don't want you to feel like you're in trouble around me. I want you to feel like you're having fun. We're having a little
No
party.
worries. All good. All good.
That's amazing. Well, Mike, thank you. I changed the name. I see it. Awesome. Mike, thank you. So if anyone is interested in investing as Mike and Wendy lock up this project, undervalue with the with investment schedule and all of the terms that they've learned and putting in there, reach out to him on the Inner Circle group. And I like how you're involving US-based investors into your Canadian project. And this is a comment for all my American friends on here. Investing in Canada is something to be considered because the Canadian market, the Canadian economy is extremely stable when we compare it to other economies and certainly compared to the US economy. I think the Canadian economy is much more stable. It's just our political system is a little bit different. Our banking system is very different. Our population distribution is extremely stable. And by that, I mean 90% of our population lives in five cities or six cities because of our infrastructure distribution. So there's some really, compared to the US, with your beautiful interstate highway in the US, allows the whole country to be connected, but it also allows the population to be dispersed in a less, I'll use the word stable. Sort of manner because people can go anywhere and they move anywhere. In Canada, most people live in like five or six cities. All that to say, Mike, I love how you've made sure that you can accommodate US investors. So So while they're investing in the US actively, maybe doing wholesales or flips or things like that, they can have some passive money tucked away that is in a stable economy, and they're diversifying in different economic systems, different political systems, and that might be valuable for some of my American friends listening here. So, Mike, that's great, and it sounds like you've solved that, right? Is that what I heard?
I think we have, yes.
Perfect. Yeah. You can never say yes until you get the final okay from the tax advisors and accountants. So I understand your somewhat reluctance, but I'm sure you'll solve it. I know many have. Yeah. Awesome. Mike, thank you for joining us. I think I'm going to see you. Am I going to see you this? No, on the not April 19th is our workshop.
Yeah, it's our workshop. I think I'm actually out of town that week. So we'll be attending a virtual one, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a good lesson for everyone. If you cannot make it, you have a wedding, you've got something you got to do. I hope it's important, Mike, that you're going to miss our workshop. I'm going to put you on the spot. Don't tell me what you got to do,
It's
but just
very important.
okay, good. It's important. You got to do what you got to do. Our team is great at making sure that you get caught up in other workshops. So that's amazing. All right, Mike, thank you for sharing. Everyone, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being part of this amazing community. It is now 31 minutes past the hour. I'm going to end this call. We're going to wrap it up, and I am going to talk to all of you next Monday, which I believe is April 8th at our 11 a.m. Eastern time. Just going to check and make sure I got the right time, the right date. Monday, April 8th, 11 a.m. Eastern. Let's do this again. We're going to do it every week, and you're going to make massive progress. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you in 7 days. Bye for now.